You will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. I'm Rob Artigo. I'm a writer and a business owner here in California, and of course, guest host for this edition of Tough Things First. Hi, Ray.
Hello, Rob.
Also joining us here is Paul Moore. Paul is a fellow podcaster, and he's been guest host here on Tough Things First before, but he's also a guy who's worked with Ray for many years and thought it would be interesting to have both of you guys together to talk about some of these business-related subjects. And Ray, it looks like businesses that had been comfortable offshoring, and I know one that we've talked about regularly here on the podcast is, because it's such a great example, is Apple. Apple produces the iPhone primarily in China through Foxconn. And that's it is essentially an international company, not really even an American company. Companies like that have for decades then gone offshore to manufacture. A lot of business is done offshore. But it looks like it's becoming more advantageous to return under the new administration, presidential administration under Trump. Can we attract companies back to the U.S. who are already offshored, or can we expect to see some fight there?
First of all, let's talk about what constitutes a U.S. company. There is the brand, so you know that identifies the company. And so when we think of the brand, we tend to say, okay, well, that's a U.S. or that's German or that's Japanese or whatever. Or Korean, and so the brand actually defines kind of what we believe is where the product is made, but that's not true. As you pointed out, Apple is considered a U.S. company, but technically it is not U.S. because it has its corporate headquarters, or not corporate headquarters, but its tax base is in Ireland. Even though they look like they're U.S., they're really not. They're Irish. And so the reason the public doesn't know that is because Apple comes across as a U.S. company. So the reason that these companies set themselves up offshore, Cisco is another one that has done this, is to avoid the high corporate tax rate. Currently, it's 35%, so if they can go to Ireland or to Singapore or any number of other lower tax countries, they can get a favorable tax rate. I think the average is around 15%. Companies like Cisco, Apple, and others have been screaming to get a holiday, meaning they want the government, the U.S. government, to say, please. Reduce the taxes on our money we have trapped offshore so that we can invest it in the U.S. And that's been going on for just years. These companies that have offshore tax holidays, Trump has agreed, or at least he says he's going to reduce the tax rate to something like 15%, which is interesting because that 15% rate then matches what the average is around the world. So there's no more tax incentive for companies like Apple or Cisco to have offshore facilities.
Some corners, he's going to get criticism for that. But you say that what we're talking about here is parity to the rest of the world, mm-hmm. right? Tell me a little bit about that.
So the average, as I mentioned earlier, the average offshore tax rate is around 15%. So the lowest I've ever heard is 7. But that's not a lot of countries have that. Not everybody has that low a tax rate, but it's certainly not zero. I'd say the average tax rate for an offshore company is around 15%. So what he's doing is he's moving from 35 down to 15 to level the playing field. So it's not going to be cost effective from a tax point of view to have these companies with these offshore companies. And but that doesn't mean they'll have to move their manufacturing back. So what he'd have to do is he'd have to say, not only am I going to reduce the tax corporate tax rate, but he could say, I'll give you, say, a holiday. Maybe I won't charge you anything for the money you've got currently trapped offshore if you'll bring it back to the U.S. and spend the money in the U.S., meaning manufacture here in the U.S. So that would be a big incentive for these guys to then to start manufacturing back in the U.S. Now, whether or not he can pull that off, I don't know, but that would be certainly one way to get the companies to bring their manufacturing back to the U.S. is by saying, the money you got trapped offshore, you can bring back to the U.S. We won't, well, maybe we'll charge you a minimal amount of tax, at the end of the day, you now have this so-called cost reduction in a way, because you haven't had pay money on those money you have trapped offshore. So anyway, that's an idea. That's a solution to get companies to bring their manufacturing, like Foxconn for Apple and so forth, by giving it somewhat of a tax holiday.
An added incentive, it sounds like his plan includes possible tariffs for those companies that don't bring their manufacturing back. Is that problematic, or is that, does that sound like, if it's a fair tariff, that companies will be encouraged but not necessarily forced?
Well, that's going to affect all products. I mean, that's going to affect the products coming from all countries if he puts this flat tax tariff border tax on it. So you know, it's a complex equation, and again, not something that you and I and Paul can talk about in detail today, because there's too many ramifications. There's too many pieces of string you have to pull on to make it work. So he's got a lot of things at his disposal to do that could encourage tremendously, anyway, people bringing their products back here. For example, he discouraged Carrier from moving their manufacturing to Mexico by giving them some tax incentives by staying here in the U.S. So that's a company that already is in the U.S. that was thinking about moving out. He could do a like thing for a company that's currently offshore, like Apple, to bring back their manufacturing to the U.S. by offering similar tax incentives.
Let's get Paul into the conversation here. Paul, are there other ways that we can entice companies back to the U.S. to do their manufacturing here?
You know, leveling the playing field is very difficult. In places in China, they have what they call business parks. And here in the U.S., we often pay, gosh, we could pay $1 million for one engineer's seat in just software fees. Now, they have a strategy to help up-and-coming businesses by saying, okay, we, the business park, which is really the government, we're going to buy a bunch of licenses, and we'll only charge you this small amount. So it's very difficult to level the playing field, even if we do repatriate dollars by saying we'll give you an even tax rate. You know, even within the United States, different regions, different business parks in our country give people different tax incentives, you know, local tax incentives, not the federal tax incentives. But, you know, we're all in a competition to bring businesses to our community, whoever, you know, however you define who we are, you know, the city of Fremont, the people in a certain neighborhood, you know, everybody's trying to get those, what they have at their disposal to entice people to come into their community and create jobs. It's very difficult to level the playing field.
Is it impossible?
Yes, it's impossible. Mm. Only on that deal, on that day, are you going to make it enticing for that person.
Wow. Well, I don't know that I completely agree, Paul, because there's no way that those other countries can offer anything lower than low. I mean, you can't offer any more than zero. And so, you know, that would not stop the U.S. from doing a similar thing, or communities because the communities are going to fight to get those companies like Foxconn to come back to their communities too. So with Trump opening the door to allow this to happen, you're going to see a lot of very creative things take place in my mind.
Yeah, well, that's my point. He's like, okay, so you're paying zero for taxes. Okay, I can't do less than zero, but here's what I'll do. I'll create a business park and we'll build it. And you're not responsible for the exterior building. I mean, there's going to be little creative tweaks in all kinds of deals that just make it very difficult to make it a 100% level playing field.
But what I like, though, is I like the fact that by encouraging, at least to any degree we can, to get that manufacturing back in the U.S., we'll have less transfer of technology to those other countries. That's what I like.
I think that that's a really good point, right? And that's one point I was talking about earlier is you know, as a guy that sat right next to the manufacturing site, which was called a fab for people that don't understand semiconductor manufacturing, I literally sat on top of the factory and I would go down into the factory. I have had a very intimate knowledge of giving somebody an instruction and knowing what was happening right underneath my feet. So I was simulating a transistor and I wanted a certain kind of an etch. And then I had a sense of the reality of getting it done in a factory versus just making it up in my software. So I think being in touch is really important, and I echo your sentiment.
Well, I think this has been a pretty good podcast today. I think the listeners have got a chance to hear what we think is going to happen as a result of Trump being able to encourage companies to come back to the U.S.
It'll be exciting to see how it shakes out, too, over 2017, because a lot of these changes will happen more or less within a few months, but the effects could last quite a long time.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you again for another Tough Things First podcast. I'm Rob Artigo, the guest host. We have Paul Moore joining us here today. Thanks again, Ray.
Well, we'll talk again.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.